Welcome to Burr News Current Affairs Podcast with Jeremy Deacon. Listen at your leisure on www.burrnews.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to this, the latest Burr News Facebook Live interview. I'm joined today by Paul Telford. Paul is the new authority chairman of the board. Start that again. Paul is the new chairman of the Bermuda Tourism Authority. Thank you, Paul, for sparing us a little bit of time.
Thank you, Jeremy.
First of all, tell me a little bit about your role. People probably don't know exactly what the chairman does.
Well, I think in a nutshell, the key to the chairman role is the liaison between the Minister of Tourism and the Tourism Authority, and primarily the CEO, and then also the larger board. But mainly it's the liaison there, and then working with the board on strategy and forward-looking for the organization.
So you're quite involved in policy and strategy?
Well, strategy, policy, yes. On higher levels, perspective.
On higher levels, yeah. So on that, I mean, you've been on the board for a few years, and so you know it very well indeed, and obviously through your role at Tucker's Point, you know an awful lot about tourism. What's your vision for the BTA?
Well, I think...
Where do you see it going? Where do you see building on from what David Dodwell did?
Well, I think, you know, first of all due credit to David for the work he's done over the last 3.5 years or more in getting the Tourism Authority on its feet, and then really to a point now where we've had two years of growth, seven consecutive quarters of growth in visitor air arrivals. So I think all due credit to David. And I think the authority over the last 3.5 years is really focused on kind of getting the island out there, getting brand Bermuda together, and getting that messaging out. And I think we've done a really good job of that. Now, as we evolve into this next chapter of the authority, I think we need to start to look at, okay, how are we going to manage that growth? And looking forward and development of individuals into hospitality careers, because you know with the pipeline of hotels that are coming along, there's two hotels that are due in the next few years. Who's going to work in those hotels? Mm. And we want to see Bermudians getting into those hotels and working there. So there's going to have to be some development there. So I think we're kind of evolving from that sales and marketing machine, which is clearly performing, and now getting down to some of the more on-island operational things.
It's interesting you say that, because when you were announced, it was quoted as that you were used to be you started as a busboy at Elbow Beach,
right?
And you worked yourself way up to where you are now at Tucker's Point. And the Minister Jamal Symonds said at the time, "Truly, Paul's journey is something that all Bermudians can see as tangible evidence that the tourism industry is not just a job but a career." Starting as a busboy, working your way up. Is that still possible today in Bermuda?
I absolutely think it is. When I started out as a busboy, I can tell you I didn't want to work in the hotel industry. I come from my father was at the Southampton Princess for years and years and years, and I grew up seeing that. And I have an older brother who, at the time when I graduated from high school, was away studying hotel management. And so when I graduated from high school, I said the last thing I want to do is work in a hotel. I don't want to have anything to do with a hotel. And I went to Bermuda College and I studied sciences, and I got a summer job as a busboy at Elbow Beach. And you know what? I fell in love with it, with the industry. But you know, my progression from there is I clearly fell in love with tourism, hospitality, hotels. I went back to Bermuda College, changed my program to hotel management, went away to England to university to study hotel management, came back. And worked at a couple of hotels here before then going to work for Four Seasons in Washington, D.C., and then Punta Mita, Mexico, and then Hawaii before coming back home 9 years ago. And I think with a little bit of commitment and dedication and in understanding that you do there is sacrifice, that you have to put in a lot of hard work, I think it absolutely is doable. I mean, certainly my career progression, I'm now the managing director for one of Bermuda's luxury resorts. My progression was food and beverage as a busboy, then into spa and health clubs and the rooms division of the hotel, and then into rooms director. So that's not a typical path. But I think anything is possible in these days if you're committed and you focus on it.
So there's enough opportunities, or there will be enough opportunities for Bermudians to do that, even with the new hotels opening?
Absolutely. I think, you know, at the pace we're going right now, in the next 10 years, we're on pace to have an additional 1,500 hotel rooms on this island. So it's really, I mean, that's strong growth. So we have to plan for that. And that's long term.
So you think it's still going to be an attractive industry to work in? You hope it will be.
You know, I think the industry is interesting because I think when people talk about tourism and hospitality, they really don't consider the larger picture. For example, you know, within just a hotel environment, you have engineers, you have sales and marketing professionals, you have human resources professionals, you have spa, you have food and beverage. It's not just, I think people think of it as coming out with a
tray and serving.
Exactly. And if you look at the tourism industry at large, there's so much opportunity out there for small entrepreneurs to do Airbnb or any kind of activity on the island, for example, if you want to scuba diving or tours or the railway trail. I mean, there's so many opportunities. So I think people need to kind of think out of the box when it comes to a career in hospitality or tourism.
It's quite an interesting message to get across, actually. I don't think people necessarily think that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, one of the biggest event we've had this year is the America's Cup. We had the recent PwC report. What would you say your main takeouts were from that PwC report?
Well, I think the report is quite clear that it was a resounding success for the island. I think, you know, most importantly is the next 2 to 5 years, the impact that the America's Cup is going to have on the island's economy. I think the $80 million contribution to advertising, I mean, again, the exposure that the island has received from that, I think the number was 51 million viewers viewed this America's Cup compared to less than half of that in 2013. So I think just the exposure and getting the island kind of on the map and in people's minds is the success of it.
I suppose the trick is to build on that, isn't it? I mean, I presume that's you're going to be heavily involved in that with the BTA. What kind of things would you be looking at, do you think?
Well, I think, you know, for example, sailing. Sailing is obviously a key to our history and our culture. This kind of, the America's Cup really pulled that in. But I think going forward, we can look to develop that out and bring more sailing events to the island. We have certainly a very active calendar this coming year, and starting in March all the way through the summer, which is going to bring boats here, bring individuals here. And I think if we can build on that, that's a good opportunity for us.
The Grant Gibbons, who I suppose you could call the AC Minister, if you like, was quoted as saying in a statement he put out recently, 3 years ago, I called the AC35 a transformative moment in our island's history. Do you think it's been transformative in terms of tourism? It will carry on to be transformative?
Oh, without a doubt.
Explain why.
Well, I think, you know, in my mind, I think the way that Bermuda rose to that occasion, yeah, I think it's the thing, in the first time in the island's history that we're putting on an event of that magnitude, that's a global event of a global magnitude. I think the Bermudians showed that we can rise to that and we can put on an event of that magnitude. So I think it was a transformation for one, showing that we can really do it. And now, okay, where can we take that going forward?
And if you were given the opportunity right now to have the America's Cup back, would you have it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Why?
Well, I think, again, for the exposure, for the activity that it brought to the island, clearly the PwC report shows that there was an economic contribution, which is huge to the island. So, absolutely.
In the throne speech, the new government talked about transforming the ACBDA, which obviously was the overriding body for the America's Cup in Bermuda, with a Bermuda Event Authority. I just wondered what the BTA's view was on that. Looking at it, the BTA has already been instrumental in bringing the AC here. It was instrumental in bringing the World Triathlon Series here. Today, it looks like that Bermuda is going to get the 2019 World Sailing Annual Conference. It seems that the delegates in Mexico voted on that. I don't know if that's actually filtered through yet here, but isn't there going to be a lot of duplication, potential duplication? Isn't this something that perhaps should be under the wing of the BTA rather than a separate body?
I don't necessarily know. I think there's a certain skill set and focus that it takes when you're putting on an event of that magnitude. And don't forget, I mean, the primary focus of the BTA is really, yes, we have sales and marketing, products and experiences, investment division. So I think if you look at events of those kinds, that I think the impact on the products and experience division would be quite significant. It could detract. And I don't think it's wise to spread the organization that thin. So in my mind, it makes sense to kind of break it out as a subsidiary like that.
You're going to have to work very closely together, though, clearly.
Correct. Yep, absolutely.
So you're not concerned about any duplication there? You think you'll get on fine?
No, absolutely.
You mentioned sailing quite a lot, and you said there's quite a few sailing events coming as a result of the America's Cup. In the throne speech, you did talk about Bermuda, there's more to Bermuda than rugby, sailing and golf, and that was something that the tourism minister also repeated. How did you take that quote? So a lot of people, I saw a lot of comments on that as a kind of dismissive attitude to these particular sports.
Nah,
did you get that? No?
I wouldn't say that. I think when I hear that, it says to me that there is so much going on this island. Look, in my day-to-day role at the resort, I'm talking to guests constantly. And one of the things that comes up often is, hey, you know, we've been to other islands throughout the Caribbean, and they're really kind of just places where you kind of go and sit on the beach and drink a pina colada and go to dinner and then, you know, relax. Bermuda, there's so much going on. And that comment, that to me means, hey, you know what, there's a lot going on in this island that you know, we can get visitors out there to experience. The railway trails is a good example. Mm. The history and the forts and the National Museum, I mean, there's so much that we have to offer. So that's how I take that.
Gaming's been in the news, and I do not want to get into the politics of it all. That's a long story, and we don't need to go there. But would you have liked to have seen that move a bit quicker? Have a casino operating in Bermuda by now? It seems to have gone on quite a long time.
I think there's so many views on gaming. I think that, you know, look, if there is gaming on the island, it's an additional amenity for our visitors. Is it the be-all, end-all? Absolutely not. And we've gone so long without it. I think if we're going to do gaming, then let's do it right and make sure we head out of the gates doing it the right way. So if it takes a little bit longer, in my mind, I don't think it's such a bad thing. The most important thing is that we get it right.
Yes, quite.
Yeah.
Moving on from that, there's been quite a lot of legislation passed already and in the pipeline already, and one of those was the Tourism Investment Act. Now, as I understand it, this is kind of bringing incentives, not just concessions, to the tourism industry. This is one of the things I believe that the BTA had a wish list for pre-general election. Why did you want this particular act? What's important about this act?
Well, I think the important thing about this particular Tourism Investment Act is the fact that it's not the Hotel Investment Act, it's the Tourism Investment Act. So it's taking in a broader spectrum or scope of what's happening out there. So in other words, there are concessions or incentives that are available to folks who are not just doing hotels or vacation rentals, but it's also experiences, activities. And so I think that's the first notable thing about this particular act. The other thing is, the question was,
Why did you want this act? I believe it was
why do we want
the election
this act? Okay.
Wish list.
It is to create pathways so that a lot of these entrepreneurial initiatives can actually happen. So, for example, with the vacation rentals. So help in creating a pathway so that the BTA can help to sell and market vacation rentals. So helping the individuals out there who have these vacation rentals and want to generate revenue. There's a lot of capacity out there in Bermuda with, mm. with vacant apartments and things. And what a great opportunity for Bermudians to convert their apartment into a vacation rental. But I think
so this will give concessions to them doing that work. Is that the idea?
Right, I think, but also creating the pathways so that the BTA can actually contribute and sell it. Yeah.
You mentioned vacation rentals. Now, I think on the wish list, and I'll come back to other stuff on the wish list. I'm calling it a wish list, but you guys put out a statement before the election
right.
asking for certain things
That's
to
right.
happen. One of the things you wanted was business-friendly legislation to support the beach economy. And then it moves on to say, talking about vacation rental legislation to remove bureaucratic restrictions and introduce a light-touch regulatory approach. Now, this was mentioned in the Throne speech as something that is going to happen. Why is it so important to have this, vacation rental legislation?
Well, I think it's to drive things forward. You know, we need to get that. We need to engage a larger community. I talked about earlier about how I think you know, tourism is not just focused on the hotels and the scuba divers and the restaurateurs. I mean, this is an island-wide initiative, so we really do need to activate that and get that moving forward.
So you see the likes of Airbnb playing a more significant role in the future?
I do. Yeah, absolutely. I think it opens up to a broader market. I know that my hotel friends would...
It's going to add a competition to you and your hotel colleagues.
Well, this is a big debate all around the world. And there's a lot of talk about, you know, the impact of Airbnb on the hotel business. The way I see it is a rising tide lifts all boats, right? So if tourism is growing on the island, and we have more visitors coming to the island, and they're deciding to choose to stay in hotels or in B&Bs, I think everybody at the end of the day is going to benefit from it. So I don't see any downside to that.
And this vacation rentals legislation, you think, will help boost that? You hope will boost that?
Exactly. Yep.
Just the other thing, I think one of the things that you guys, the BTA, was asking for was legislation that will encourage super yachts. Now, I don't remember seeing any mention of that in the Throne speech. Is that still something very much on your agenda?
It's definitely on our agenda. It's something that we're looking at. We're working on that currently.
But the super yacht market has been something the BTA has been looking at for a long time, isn't it?
And yeah, absolutely. And some of the data that came out of the super yacht business contribution to the economy.
It was around $200,000 per boat, wasn't it? $200,000.
Huge. And it, depending on the size of boat, and I mean, there's and whether or not there are I guess staying on the boat or not. I mean, you're talking anywhere from 7,000 up to 115,000 a week spent on these boats, and that contributes to the economy.
So, what's this legislation? What would be the aim of the legislation you want introduced? What would that do?
Well, I think just to again creating the pathway,
right?
It was enacted during the America's Cup,
yeah.
So it was made available then. I think the goal is to just extend that.
Because part of it was protecting local charter boats as well, wasn't it? There was some rumpus, you know, they were seeing perhaps of the charter boats not getting a slice of the business. That's mm-hmm. very important as well, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yep, absolutely.
And you want the legislation to enshrine that?
I think it certainly needs to take it into consideration. We don't want to create any negative competition out there, but I think there's definitely a place for it. But that really has to be thought through and planned out.
And the other thing in this wish list is the Film Commission. Is that still on the boil? Is that still something you guys
yeah,
want to push?
We're still.
Are you getting anywhere with that at all?
I can't say. But we are definitely working on it.
Right, and that's presumably you mentioned that to government, or you will be mentioning it to
yes.
government to the minister.
Yeah,
it was interesting that there's a guy. I dug out some quotes, and there was a guy from. There was a person called Guy Healy of Shoebox Films. I'm not quite sure what that is. But he was here. He was here scouting out the island for locations. And it's a bit of a long quote, but I want to read it. What you've got here are all the things a film needs. High-quality transport, high-quality hotels, high-quality food, and a safe, secure, and comfortable, lovely place to be. That's essential. But the reason why Bermuda hasn't attracted movies is because it's expensive. How do you get over that? You have a film commission, you've still got the expenses. How on earth do you get over that?
And that's a challenge, yeah. I mean, as he says, we have everything here. We just, again, need to create the pathway. And yeah, accommodation, the cost of doing the filming here on the island. So, yeah, maybe you look at it in the same way that we look at trying to generate other business with concessions.
But I was going to say, included in the Tourism Investment Act.
Exactly. But I think that has to be well thought out. Yeah.
Is there any other legislation you think is necessary or you would like to see?
No.
You've not known? Okay. Now, clearly, you've mentioned at the beginning of this that you've had 7 quarters of consecutive growth. You think that's going to continue the trend? Why? I mean, I'm not going to say, do you think it's going to continue? Because you're going to say yes. The issue is, why do you think we're going to...
Well, I might not say yes. Well,
let me ask you the question. Do you think it will continue?
I think we definitely need to be conscious of the impact of America's Cup on growth. If we take to one side the impact of America's Cup, we've definitely seen growth of either side of it. And that's really a testament to the work that the BTA is doing. So there's having an impact. I do think, though, however, we need to understand that the double-digit percentage growth that we may have seen as a result of the America's Cup, we shouldn't expect to see that going into 2018. I think we should be realistic about what our expectations will be on growth. There's certainly a lot of opportunity out there for growing the visitors to the island, and not to speak bad of the misfortune of our competitors, but with the 2 hurricanes that they've had down in the Caribbean recently, with the State Department's comments, directive regarding travel to Mexico, with Zika virus. I mean, there are some opportunities for the island to try and tap into some of that business. But I think we should temper our expectations on growth in 2018.
You still see it going up, though, but
I do.
Not going up as fast.
Yes.
I mean, there was an issue, wasn't it? You mentioned the hurricanes, and one of the problems was Bermuda got mixed up with Barbuda all the time, didn't it?
Most unfortunate.
That kind of helped. Well, I think your CEO made the point it didn't help.
Yes, yeah.
Last question, really, and it really is time to get your crystal ball out. We've got Morgan's Point. We've got St. Regis being built now. We've seen the progress there over at Fort St. Catherine. The Lauren has opened. We just had the AC. It's been a pretty busy year. Vision for the future? Your predictions for the future?
I see continued development. See continued growth.
Any more hotels, do you think?
I do. And the reason being is this year, we're so far year to date, we're looking at 66% occupancy. Average occupancy among the hotels. The real sweet spot for hotels is 70%. And you really think about it, we're not that far away. And I think if we continue the growth that we're projected on right now, and these 2 properties open up within the next 2 to 3 years, and we can achieve that 70% occupancy, I think what you'll see is you'll see a lot of energy around.
Yeah, right, because that would be kind of tipping point.
That would be a tipping point. And that would be a lot of attraction. Because right now, there aren't many flags on the island. When I say flags, you think about Rosewood. You think about St. Regis, Ritz-Carlton. When they see that kind of growth in a destination, it's going to be a huge attraction. So, yeah, I do see continued growth. And we have the space. We have the available properties. And we're creating quite an awesome product here for visitors to come and experience.
Okay, on that note, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Burr News Current Affairs Podcast with Jeremy Deacon. Listen at your leisure on www.burrnews.com, your 24/7 Bermuda news source.